The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So I'm going to charge you to make some commitments. Some things I've been saying since last Sunday. I said crossover service. I'm going to touch some of them today again. Amen. Are you following me at all? Why are you saying this? So that you can become intentional and deliberate about your life. So your life will count this year. Praise God. It's a fruitful year. At the end of this year, a lot of people are going to be excited. But I can still tell you, some persons will not be. People always come into the year with a lot of expectation, a lot of enthusiasm. But sometimes at the end of the year, they leave disappointed. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because they're not intentional and deliberate about the year they came into. They had wishes, they had things that they said, but then they didn't see them come to pass because things. Hallelujah. So first commitment, you have to make a commitment, for instance, to your spiritual growth. I'll start from there this morning. To your spiritual growth. Are you still here? You must make a commitment. I've kept saying this over time. Growth does not fall on people. People deliberately make growth happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter will say, but grow in grace. And I keep saying, when he says grow in grace, he tells you that you don't grow suddenly, or you decide to grow. He said, but grow. In other words, I can wake up one day and say, today I'm going to grow. And one of the choices you're going to make this year is that you're going to grow spiritually. Amen? You wake up and say, I'm going to grow. Let 2021 be that year that you grew spiritually. That year that you made up your mind that you're going to be an effective believer. And spiritual growth will start from commitment to the word of God. Hallelujah. It will start by committing yourself to the word of God. God's word is the source. Look at this. Grow in grace, and it says, and in the knowledge. What does it mean to grow in grace? To grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it tells you that that growth will come by the word of God. Are you following me at all? Are you following me at all? So grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when the word and appears in that verse, that word and will be the Greek AI, which will mean an explanation of the word grace. They say growing grace and which is Kai, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how, where does spiritual growth come from? It starts from growing in the word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, 2 Peter 1, Peter will be multiplied unto you. But it does through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Is multiplied by knowledge. Are you following me at all? So growing in grace is growing in knowledge. Which knowledge? The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where do you find that knowledge? You find it in the holy word of God, in the Bible, in the written word of God. And so this year you must make a commitment to grow spiritually, and that starts by making a commitment to commit to the word of God. I said that's why I came up with the plan that we are on now. How many of us are keeping with our Bible reading plan? Make sure you don't miss that. Amen. We're going to finish your Bible this year. We're going to finish reading them. We're going to study a lot of things. You have to be deliberate about it. If not, you're going to have effective spiritual growth. Show me that man that is committed to the word of God, studying it, reading it, confessing it, listening to it. That man will have spiritual growth. But you see, show me that man that does not care about spiritual growth, about the word of God. A man doesn't care about spiritual growth. In Acts chapter 20 verse 32, Paul will say, and I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So the word of God is what builds you up. So in 2021, if you're going to have spiritual growth, you must pay a commitment to the word of God. And it has to be deliberate. It wouldn't just happen. You have to deliberately decide, I'm going to read the Bible this year. I'm going to listen to messages this year. And I'll be deliberate at it. And let me tell you how growth happens. Spiritual growth by the word of God. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, which is our watchword for that Bible reading plan. He said, as newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word. Now, he likened the word of God to milk. Are you following me at all? Are you following me at all? Now, no child, no baby, will grow by taking milk once in 2 weeks. Are you following me at all? You give birth to a baby, and then every time the baby cries, you give him milk. Every day. Sometimes 7 times, 10 times, sometimes 15 times in one day. If you don't understand this, you've not had a baby yet. Or you've not been around one. They can suck breast at any time of the day. And if you do not feed the child like that, he's going to starve. It might possibly die. You claim to be having spiritual growth if you read your Bible once in 10 years or once in 1 week. I told you guys on third first night. Praise God. Praise God. 1 week without the Bible makes 1 week. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you stand away from the word of God for 1 week, it's going to make, and this is not just rhyme. It will make you weak about life generally. Sometimes the reason why you cannot confront life is because you serve, I think it was F.M. Bosworth or so that said some people serve their spiritual life one cold snack in 1 week. But they feed their physical everything good. Every day, morning, afternoon, night, you feed it to your body, and your spiritual life, you serve it one cold snack in 1 week. And sometimes it is when you come to church, that's all. You can't grow like that. So you must make a commitment, a deliberate commitment to grow spiritually. And it starts by making a commitment to read the word of God, to listen to it, to study it, to confess it. You must be deliberate about it. I told you, if you commit to the word of God, it will make you what it says. Are you following me? It will make you what it says. It will make you what it says. That's human base. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Growth comes by committing to the word of God. Committed to the word of God. So I will grow spiritually. Once again. Okay, let's just ask like all your friends are in church. Once again. Let's pretend like all of them came today. Once again. So I will grow spiritually. Hallelujah. So I will commit myself to the word of God. That's what you must do. Praise God. I'm one of things I told the pastors on Friday night. That was Friday. Yeah. When we got into the office, I told them, I said, one of my this year, and I'll still talk about that when we get to the retreat. One of my major commitments this year is to be a good Christian. And that's one of the things one of my major passion for the year, to be a better Christian. I say, what does that mean? It means everything. You know, I was telling one of our pastors yesterday, some ministers, pastors, have outgrown being a Christian. Basic things that make us believers. Many of us have outgrown. What I think is, you read your Bible, you pray every day, basic things. Many have outgrown it. They teach it, they don't do it. You get the point? And I tell you, sometimes you're coming to the church, ministers are not growing. Members are growing because they're teaching, but they're not doing it too. So even personally as a minister, I'm going to stay with the word of God this year. I can't tell you to read the Bible or finish the Bible, and I will not do it. And what I'm doing, because growth does not respect title. I hope you know. You're not growing. So I can't tell you to read the Bible for 1 year, and then I'm just over there on WhatsApp monitoring people that are doing it. Hope you read your own. If you don't read it, I'm going to flog you. And then you're not reading yours. That's a spiritual growth. Another thing, for instance, that you must make a commitment to, as far as spiritual growth is concerned, is prayer. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, and we'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. So you study the Bible and you pray. One of the things I keep telling people is, we have to need to have balance. Believers who are word men and prayer men. Not people who are just prayer men and are not word men. People who are only word people but are not prayer people. So there must be believers who are word people and they are prayer people at the same time. And so growth will come also when you commit yourself to prayer. One of the things I keep teaching when it comes to spiritual growth and these things I'm mentioning is intentionality. You cannot decide to grow spiritually. You cannot grow spiritually by studying your Bible when you are chanced. Remember I said that. You cannot study your Bible when you have time. No. That's what people make. Say, well, I'm going to pray. If you want to study your Bible when you have time, and you want to pray when you have time, you will never have the time. Time is never available until you create it. I feel what I'm talking about. And so, studying the Bible and praying is not what you do in your leisure time. No. It's something you deliberately put in your timetable for the day. And so you must make a commitment to prayer. Having a strong, solid prayer life. And that comes by forming routines. Amen? Having a routine. I'm going to pray every day by this time and that time. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've listened to me over time, I'm sounding like a broken record. You know what I mean? I'm saying what I've been saying over time. You start doing it. Praise God. You commit yourself to prayer, having a consistent prayer life. Have a routine. Other thing that could help you this year build a solid prayer life, for instance, is to have a prayer list. A list of people you pray for. They should range from unbelievers that you want to pray for them to come to light, to believers that you want to see grow spiritually, to ministers that you are praying for. These are people you must pray for. Family members that you are interceding for and standing in the gap on their behalf. They must range from all those people. And the list is not in your head, it's in your book or your notepad. I follow you. You have such lists. I learned that from studying the life of Father Daniel Nash. He had such a list that he used to pray for. And he will pray for you. For instance, if he's praying for you for salvation, he will keep praying for you until you get saved. When you get saved, he goes to his list and he ticks it. Also, everybody on that list gets saved. I get the point. If I'm praying for a believer to have an effective Christian life, I'm just going to have the name there. And as I go, I'm going to, when it's done, when I think the prayer is answered, I tick it. You must be deliberate about your prayer life like that. So you have a prayer routine, you have a prayer list. It's going to help you pray. Another thing that will help you grow, for instance, or pray, for instance, is to have prayer partners. How many of you have a prayer partner? Do you? I'm not just talking about someone you just say, we are prayer partners. That you guys pray together. So when you guys pray together, in Acts, the Bible tells us that when they were threatened, they returned back to where? Their own company. And they lifted their heads and they prayed. And so they had a company. They had a group of persons they prayed with. Are you following me at all? So I'm saying three things that can help you build a prayer life. One is to have a routine. Two, prayer list. Three, partners. Prayer partners. People that, and if you don't want to have one, and you're in this church, we're going to help you have one this year. Amen. Yeah. We've already designed, we've already grouped everybody in the church into threes and fours already. Once all of us are back together, we're going to announce the list. And you have people that you pray with and report to that you are praying. Watch the person say you will pray because you will not waste this year. You must give yourself to prayer. So a life committed to the study of the word and to prayer is a life that must be growing spiritually. And sometimes, you know, one of the things I was thinking over the weekend, sometimes the reason some of these things we teach looks like they don't produce the kind of results you want to produce in your life yet is because you are not consistent at them. Like I said, no baby is going to grow by taking milk once in 1 week. Praise God. No baby is going to go like that. And what they're going to say is, this milk doesn't work. This brother was sharing a story with me.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's a health worker. Then mother brings this baby. Baby was so emaciated. Say he doesn't, she doesn't get fat. She's not strong. And I give her food every day. And so the lady looked and said, this baby can, is, she's malnourished. Says, Elio, this one, hey, every day, you know, all that stuff. So he said, she told the woman, feed the baby. Feed the baby my present. And she brought out her, what are those things, her milk, cereal, and what have you. And then she will use the spoon and scoop the cereal, right? And then, you know, get into her mouth and lick 3 of her 4 feet. And then I say, you're the one killing your child.
Praise God.
Are you following me at all? And the child, if she comes, and some of you, you know, I just imagine telling me to take care of a baby. Praise God. It's not like I'm drinking a shower. Yeah, so it can enter the baby's mouth, you understand?
So that it can be too hot.
And the baby was starving. And you cannot teach a spiritual life like that. You'll be malnourished. Nobody grows. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. Nobody grows by attending service every Sunday only. I get the point. If the only time you hear the word of God, where you come to every Sunday, no, now. No. It's going to make you a weak person. Praise God. Sunday medicine does not work. It doesn't. You can't keep hearing the word of God only on Sundays and expect, you know, you cannot be a pastime Christian and expect to fight a full-time devil.
I get the point.
I said that is doing his job full-time.
How do you know that?
He's not retiring like some of us do. Every day, Satan is being Satan. Demons are being demons. Amen. And so you must be a Christian at all times. You must be committed to spiritual growth at all times. Studying the Bible daily. Praying daily. So make it a culture. Any form part of your culture to be committed to the word of God and to prayer. Hallelujah. So I give myself once again God and to prayer. This year I will grow. I will pray. I will study. I will grow spiritually. So I give myself to the ministry of the Lord and to prayer. You can see, let's say amen. First is you make a commitment to spiritual growth. So a commitment, for instance, that you must make. Okay, the commitment along this line. To live a consecrated life. Consecration. Consecration. Not concentration. Come on. Consecration. Praise God. Consecration. You know, during the last day, I was teaching along the line. What is consecration? Consecration is to devote yourself to a certain cause. To devote yourself to a certain cause. Cause, like, see, you know cause, right? Yeah. To devote yourself to a certain cause. One of these, and that's what we mean by, if I let me put it another way, you must give your life to Jesus this year. That's what I'm trying to say. He says, are you saying you are not born again? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying give your life to Jesus. Being born again is not giving your life to Jesus. Being born again is receiving the life of Christ. Amen. It's receiving salvation. But then after that, you must live a life that is given to the Father. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul will tell you that the life I now live, and that's a declaration of consecration. You get the point? He says, verse 20, Galatians 2 verse 20. He said, it's no longer I that live. Look at it. That I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live. So, you know, consecration is when you come to a point where you begin to live for Christ. Begin to live. I'm not, this spiritual growth is one thing. Even though spiritual growth will lead to a life of consecration. But you must decide to live a consecrated life. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, that's just the next verse. He says, I do not forsake the grace of God and all that. And so you find out that you must give yourself to living for Jesus. Are you following me? Living for Jesus. I live for Jesus. Once again. So what does that mean? You know, in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, Paul was writing and he was talking about the Macedonian church. He said, this they did. He said, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. So that is a place for giving yourself, your life, your ambition to the Lord. To the Lord. You know, you can be from a family, but that doesn't mean you automatically, So some of us are part of the body of Christ. We are believers, but we've not given our lives for the cause of all we believe. Praise God. Consecration means, for instance, consecration will demand, for instance, that you, right, explain it at LMP, that you suffer for Christ. And that word suffer, I mean, is to allow. It means you, there are certain things that this year you must allow just for the sake of Christ. Okay? Things that you must allow just for the sake of Christ. Things that you must allow just for the sake of Christ. I say it again. Things you must allow just for the sake of Christ. One of them, for instance, is that sometimes you might have to suffer wrong or allow wrong. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 5 to 7. That's why I said you must live, decide to be a better Christian this year. And look at that. Put up New Living Translation. I want us all to look at the screen or look at our Bibles and let's read together. Are you ready? If I'm not here, if I don't hear your voice, you come and preach with me. I have a second. Are you ready? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. I'm ready to shame you. Is it? Who is wise enough to decide these issues? Okay, verse 6. But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Now look at verse 7. That's what I'm going to. Listen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it like that? Why not allow yourselves to be cheated? Well, you say, what? So Paul is saying that we can be cheated. That's a life of consecration, a life that will allow some things to just pass for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. When I hear people look talk like you don't try that with me. You've not seen the other side of me, and you're dealing with a fellow believer. There is no other side of you. We've seen all the side there is. Are you following me? And so in consecration, you allow, for instance, wrongs for the sake of Christ. You allow things for the sake of Christ because you want your life to count and become meaningful for the gospel. Say with me, say my life must count. Say my life must be meaningful for the gospel. So you allow yourself. Sometimes there are things, you know, for instance, I'm talking about allowing the gospel. This year, you know, there's a thin line. I say this at LMP. There's a thin line between grace, legalism, and lasciviousness. Let me say this. Grace, legalism, and lasciviousness. Legalism is where you begin to live, or where you decide or attempt to please God by the law. What I mean is, where you decide to please God by your works and efforts. That is an extreme. That is wrong. The Bible tells us that by the child. Can I believe me at all? God loves all of us, so we can as well begin to live anyhow we want. That's lasciviousness. It's another extreme. That is bad. Are you following me at all? There is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that teaches us that yes, we are accepted to God based on His grace, not by our works. But then, we are not saved to works. We are not saved by works. But then, in our salvation, we are created unto good works. I get the point. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are living right. But you are not doing it as an attempt to please God, or to make God happy, or to make heaven. Okay? You are doing it because you know that this is who you are. Sometimes I said in my notes, I said, You know, the reason we live right, for instance, first of all, is because that's who we are. Because this is where consecration comes in. Because you have to fulfill a mandate. Now, your lifestyle does not validate the gospel. It doesn't. The gospel validates itself. But your lifestyle can affect how you conduct your life. I mean, how you are effective with the gospel on earth. It can affect it. Your lifestyle can affect this. Your lifestyle can affect distance. It can affect how effective you are with the gospel on earth. So your lifestyle can. So in consecration, we devote our lives for the gospel's sake. And we let go of some things for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. This year, one of the things I'll ask you to do is to live a consecrated life. May there be some things that you're going to let go of in your life just for the sake of Christ. May there be some things that you allow just for the sake of Christ. Are you following me at all? Are you following me at all? For the sake of Christ, for the sake of the ministry, there must be some things that you say, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to let go of this, or I'm not going to do that, because I love the gospel, I love Jesus, okay? And I want the cause of Christ to move forward, so I'm going to let go of this. I actually share this story. Many years ago, or some years ago, one of us went for a mission work. I share this story at all times. She went for a mission work. And then right there in the mission field, she went with some persons who we are not very enlightened about the gospel. But then they were on that mission work. Okay? And then while they were there, these guys decided that everybody in that mission field will not use earrings. Okay? Will not use necklace. I will not even use not lipstick, lip balm. I mean, no, not lip balm. Lip gloss or wet lips, you know that stuff. And we'll not even use, because the girl wears a fancy glass, and they will basically anybody that mission field will not use that fancy glass because that's not too spiritual. That's a bit carnal, according to them. And so she has lights. And so she refused. She tried explaining to them, look that, look at that, look at that. I told her, no. If you're going to stand, if you're going to join this mission field. And so she refused. They refused. When I'm going for outreach, they'll tell her, you will not go with us. She'll say, I must go with two people. Because I've not done anything wrong. And they kept dragging and dragging. It was a mess. So that she'll be walking with them on the road. To go and stand. Say, don't join us. Do your own. Let's do our own, you know? And then on the day, that mission field failed. Amen? When she came back and told me the story, she obviously expected I was going to just say, those guys said they don't have lights. It's not. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do that again now, amen? Yeah, don't do it again. The Bible says that the servant of the Lord must not be must not be a striker. But then, that was then. I gave a daddy slap. He said, sir, what did I do? I slapped you again. She said, what did I do wrong? Is it my fault that they don't understand the gospel? Is it my fault that they don't understand what is wrong? And all the earring I have is even full stop earring. Is it, are these glasses, it's not like it's black. It's not my glass. You know, they're just being jealous of me. And all that. And so, I sat her down that day. She was crying. So I said, a life of consecration sometimes demands that even though you know that this is right, if this is going to happen because of Christ, stopping to wear those things for 1 month wouldn't have killed you. Stopping those things for 1 month wouldn't have killed anybody. So because of that, I told her for the next, no more earring, no more necklace. He said, this pastor, I didn't know you are like this. I'm like that too. No more earrings, no more necklace.
No more glasses. No more. Like, allow that to rub powder at least. Come on. But she got the message. Amen. Of course, we didn't get to 4 months, and I told her, come on, wear your stuff. I just did that to show you that these things don't mean anything. You should be able to let go of them if the need arises for the sake of Christ. I get the point. For the sake of Christ. That's why when people, you know, because the creation will teach you that as a believer, you are not living for yourself. People say, well, it's my life. I live it how I want. No. You are not living for yourself as a believer. Actually, as a believer, you are living for others. People say, I dress to make myself happy. That is true for me, Sha. Okay? But at the end of the day, you are dressing for people. Hope you know. You don't know. I'm telling you. That's why you notice that when you are in your bedroom and you're alone, you wear anything you like and just stay. But once someone is coming, so can't you see dressing for me? Even though when I dress, my first consideration is myself. I must like it. I know this for people. We live our lives for people. And that's how a Christian should realize. You can't say, I don't care what they think about me. All I need is that I know myself. You can't be like that. A life of consecration knows that there are things that for the sake of Christ, you can suffer, you can allow. So Paul is saying, why not just allow the wrong? Why not allow yourself to be cheated? That's why, it's because of ignoring some of these things, that's why there are some small, small, useless, unnecessary quarrels that exist among believers. Because we just allow, I won't take it. She's fond of that. I won't take that. Sometimes take it. Are you following me? That's a life of consecration. Yeah, and it's not because you are being a fool. The key word in that teaching is you are doing it for Christ. That's the key word. It's not like you don't know your rights. I didn't get the point. It's not like you don't know your rights. But then you've reasoned that if you start fighting with that conduct along the road, say, it's not me, you do that for, and then you guys fight and exchange blows, and then next week, we are taking missions to that area, and then you now meet him. You know, your confidence is gone. Now, it will not affect the fact that the message you have is valid, but it will affect how he's going to receive it. So for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ, you suffer the wrong. Are you following what I'm talking about? You allow it. That's a life of consecration. What I'm trying to say is that they say you must decide to be a better Christian, to live a consecrated life. So you allow wrongs. Sometimes you suffer persecution too, with joy for the sake of Christ. Sometimes you let go of your privilege. Let me show you a scripture. In 1 Corinthians 8, from verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8, from verse 6. Now, it says, but we know that there is only one God. Okay? Let's use NLT. It's still okay. It's still okay. Okay, but we know that there is only one God. Okay? The Father who created everything, and we live for him. Who do we live for? For him. And there's only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. Okay? Let's continue. However, now, what is stated in verse 6 is a fact. He was talking about idols here. He said there's only one God. I'm sure there's only one God. There's only one God. Only one God. There's nothing like idol. But he said, however, not all believers know this. You see, that's the thing you must notice about life. Everybody at different levels. People at different levels of spiritual maturity. Everybody doesn't know this. He said, some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. So let me say this another way. Not all believers know that, what am I going to use as an example? And there's nothing wrong with doing, let me use trouser for instance. I get to the point. Not all believers know. That's nothing wrong with that. For ladies. Amen. But not all believers know. And so when they wear it, they go confess their sins and feel bad, and their weak conscience are violated. You get the point? So look at this flow. Verse 8. You know, some of you are wondering why last year I instructed all the ministers in church and all the workers in church, leaders in church, not to come to church on trousers for ladies. Some of you that are not workers, but you noticed it. Amen. And I did that to show, to let them see that I'm not against wearing trousers. I will keep wearing trousers in this church till Jesus comes. Amen. Do you understand me? Yeah. It's your choice. God did not call me to preach dressing. Amen. It's not part of my calling. I'm not a fashion designer. I'm not a fashion preacher. God did not call me to preach dressing. God called me to preach the gospel. So don't think I'll mount seat one day and investigating what are you wearing. I don't have that kind of time. Amen. So but then I had to do that last year to let you know that, to show them that if it will demand stopping this so that things can move forward, you should be willing to do it. I know it is a big deal. Look at it. He said, it is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. Is that true? It's from the Bible. So can we put dress in there? Can we put anything there? By what we do. So if we can't win God's approval, works don't win God's approval. He says, we don't lose anything if we don't eat it. And we don't get anything if we do. And that's the blunt truth of our life. And about our Christian walk. We don't lose anything, we don't get anything. Now, in verse 9, he says, but you must be careful that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. That's where consecration, where you allow things for the sake of your fellow believers. Or where you deprive yourself of some rights and privileges for the sake of other believers. Are you still here this morning? Are you still here this morning? You must be careful, okay? Verse 10. For if others see you with your superior knowledge, eating in a temple of an idol, wouldn't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? I didn't get it. You get the argument. Okay, let's see. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, next verse. He says, so because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. So Paul is saying there are some things you should not do because of other people. So the idea that I live my life for myself is not a Christian statement. You don't live for yourself. You live for Jesus. You live for others. Are you getting me at all? If you just do what you like doing, you're a selfish person. You're a selfish person. So he says, okay, verse 12. See, for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. Now verse 13. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again. That's a life of consecration. As long as I live. But I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. Do you understand that this morning? That's a life of consecration. So this year, you must be committed to live a consecrated life. A life for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. For Christ. Amen. Say for Christ. Once again, let me hear you again. You must live for Christ. For the sake of Christ. That's a life of consecration. Where you begin to let go of your privileges, just like Jesus did. You know, we learn consecration from Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, he laid aside his majesty. You get the point? Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, he laid aside his divine privileges. So why did he do all of that? It's not because he was enjoying the cross or he wanted to come to the earth. He did it for you. That's the same way we let go of things for him. Are you still following me at all? So there are things that, so in consecration, you let go of privileges. You let go of what might look like your rights. So this should affect your manner of life. This should affect your lifestyle. There should be things you intentionally stay away from for the gospel's sake. Intentionally. Let me say this thing to you. Anybody you see that is a believer, take it from me. And there are not things you don't do for the gospel's sake. You are not a serious Christian. You see, the life of a believer, there should be things I don't do this thing. Say, why? Well, I just don't do it. There should be such things. With all the knowledge you have. It becomes wrong when you don't have light. When you are doing it because I want to make heaven. That's where the problem is. I don't get the point. But if for the sake of the gospel, say, I'm not going to do this. I will not participate in this for the sake of the gospel. So the problem is that as believers, as everything going wrong in the office or in the classroom, you are part of it. Every evil plot, you are part of it. They won't do this, you are part of it. You should have such things. You're a lady or you're a guy and you're a believer and you're into modeling. And yet you model anything.
anything.
He said, it's not my life. It's not my body. My body now.
Really? You guys don't know. This your body is not your own. Your body is part of what Jesus paid for on the cross. How many of you know? Huh? Do you know? You don't know. I'm telling you right now. Because this same body, God is going to transform it and take it to heaven. So it's not your own. You are redeemed. Amen. He said, where is my life? This is business. Stay away from it. Let me say this to you. Let me take it a little bit further. You are a Christian, a photographer, and you don't see anything wrong with snapping people nude picture. He said, it's not me. It's not me that said they should snap it. If they come, I will snap. Let me tell you, you are a careless believer. There are things that, even though you know that this pays more, and to think of the fact that ladies really snap nude pictures. It's amazing, but let's leave that part for another day. It's another day. I'll come back for you people. How you can get to the studio and when they say, are you set for the picture? You say, I'm set. And they come in, you are set, really set. And then the believer will say, that's nothing with me. You remove your clothes, I snap it now. What's my... Don't be like that. Is God going to kill you for doing that? He's not going to do that. But you see, you are living a careless life. There are things you don't, even though you need to pay more. That's something. This year you must decide, I'm going to live a consecrated. I'm living for Christ this year. There should be things that they want to do in class. You say, I am not going to be part of it. Why? I'm a Christian. Do you know when we got saved newly? One of the things we are bold to say is, I'm born again. But these people are ashamed. Say, let's say, why won't you do it? I just don't feel like, no, don't say that. I'm a Christian. You know, when I wrote my second jam, I wrote jam 3 times, by the way. Praise God. Some of you wrote once. On a notebook, I wrote 3 times. I don't know who this encouragement is for. He's going to write again. So I wrote my, but I didn't fail those jams. I've never failed an exam in my life. You don't know. I'm telling you. But then, that day, I got into the hall. And one of the things I did as a younger believer, and I still did it today, as if you can see, I've never tried to hide my identity as a believer. Now, I can wear jeans. I'm just telling my personal principle. You know I wear jeans, right? But if I'm going to a place where there are too many, where there is a mixed crowd, I intentionally want to look believerish. Do you get what I said? So every jam I ever wrote, I wrote by tucking in my shirt, well-ironed clothes, well-polished shoe, and you just know that even if this guy is not born again, this guy is serious. So I got into the hall that day, I was just seated. It's not like, it's not this your kind of jam now, okay? CBT, no, that's not it. We shade. Ask anybody, did you shade? If you did not shade, you will not understand what I'm saying. Did you shade in your jam? So we used to shade those days. So you come with your pencil. You know, so I was seated in the hall waiting for the exam to start, to commence. And then I just saw a lot of meetings around. If you are writing jam business, you don't understand what I'm saying. Those days, they were just having meetings up and down. And after some time, the meeting was they were rallying around, contributing money to be able to give to the invigilator of the hall to allow us to have our way in Christ. And when they were doing that, I was just sitting on my seat. I didn't know. Of course, I was muttering in tongues. And then suddenly, they came and called me. I guess they called me because they felt, because I was talking in my shirt, I knew something in my head. They didn't know that. These things can be deceptive. So they came and called me. They said, actually, what we want to tell you here, what we want to talk, we say, this exam now, we all need to help ourselves. We are contributing money, but even if you don't really have money, all we are saying is let us all cooperate. If you don't have money, you might have the knowledge. This, that. You see, you would have thought I would just tell them, I'm not interested. See, I told them, I am born again. And then, you see, I'm a believer, and as a matter of fact, I'm a preacher.
I don't do such. They said, sorry, I left.
Hallelujah. And that has always been me. I don't think I'll come and say, well, I'm not among good. People should be doing. No, I'm very blunt about this. I'm very blunt about it. They paid the money. They were doing whatever. And I was ready to stand. And that's the love of consecration. Amen. That's love. You must be ready to suffer things for the sake of Christ. That wasn't even suffering. You read your book, my guy, write the exam. Which one is running up and down for the exam? Hallelujah. And I've never imagined myself running from 6 to 6 during the exam. Who does that? What are you standing up from your seat for? Oh, no, I can't do that. It's even belittling. There are things that you must, you know, then one of those days, they will wrote, when I don't know why I'm talking about exam today. My secondary school days that I wrote, we wrote an exam. That was geography or so. You know, that was NACO. Yeah. And that very day, you know, if you know our set when we wrote NACO, they postponed our exam, our NACO, if you can remember very well. They postponed our NACO, whatever that year. So, when I was for them to write the NACO, they postponed it indefinitely. So I went on mission work. So I was doing mission. So while I was done with the mission, they now called that the exam has come. So me, but we have gone deep into that mission. Don't follow me. I'm just telling you a story, man. So I couldn't leave that mission field. So what was I doing? I was coming from the mission field to write the exam. Praise God. And I didn't fail it. Praise God. Because every testimony must be complete. I did not fail it. But that does not mean I was just sitting in the mission field, praying. After praying, I'll come and write the exam. No. Before you now say, pastor came from mission, I didn't fail. Hear the complete word of the testimony. I was reading my book, amen. But then, one of those days, I came from the mission field to the exam. I came in a bit late. Okay, and oh, lo and behold, the invigilator of that exam was someone that I knew very well. He was in our church. He knew me as everything, as a pastor, as what have you. So he approached me. He said, "Ah, you're just coming." I said, "Yes, sir, but I'm just about 5 minutes late." So I just got in and sat down and started writing the exam. And he was just walking up and down. I came to my book. Maybe he wasn't impressed what I was writing, but I passed the exam. I got B2. I did B3. Well, but it was, maybe he didn't like what I was writing. And I said, "Do you need help?" I said, "No." He said, "Can I?" I said, "No." He now walked, came back and said, "Do I change it for you?" "No." You know, and it was so clear. I didn't, you know, there are things that you must take. Maybe I didn't even know what I was writing, but I was not ready. It's not geography. Who fails geography? You know, sometimes you want to compromise for not even worth it. Geography. Okay, if I had failed geography, what would have happened? I said, I don't want help. He said, "Okay, fine. Since you don't want help, small time you just come and look. Are you sure you're fine?" I said, "I'm fine." And all that. You know, he was trying to be good. I mean, he was trying to extend a hand. You can't be good to me like that. Don't be good to me. And I remain revered in that man's eyes till today, because of that day. Till today. Because if I could get home to the house, I was already hearing it. I was already telling people, "Say this guy. He's very strong. He knows what he is." You know the kind of talk. There are things that you must let go of. It's the life of a Christian. It's not because you are afraid that God is going to punish you or God is going to kill you. So this year is to be in a better Christian. Amen? Letting go of privileges. Intentionally staying away from some things for the sake of Christ. That's the life of consecration. Giving your life to Christ. Giving your life for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of ministry, letting go of some things. It might even be about your conduct. You know, I was happy on that was that first night. Someone met me, one of our dear brothers in this church. I like such things. Okay, I'm following this service now. Yeah, I like such things. He met me say there is this girl that I'm close to. We're not doing anything bad. But you know, when I was praying towards the end of the year, Lord has been laying it in my heart that I should just keep a little distance and give more time to my spiritual growth. You see, if the Lord leads you like that, please do it. It's part of consecration. You get the point? He said, "I've been trying to find out why should I just, because this girl, I love her, she loves me. It's not even like we are sinning. But the Lord has been telling me to do this." Please do it.
And if you don't used to hear such things from God, you need help. You know, there are people that choose what they hear from God. The only thing they hear from God, for instance, is finance is coming. They will never hear finance is going. God can never lead them to give somebody their money. God always say, God is bringing money. Ah, come on, can't God lead you to give Sister Jennifer your money? Amen. Why would it always be God telling you, more men are giving you money, or but you give money to more men? You know, and I was happy when he said that. I said, wow. I said, well, that's like, I don't know how to go about it. The concern now is, I don't want to hurt the girl. I don't know how to go about it. I don't even want to do it and all that. There must be that willingness to let go of some things for the sake of Christ. Are you following what I'm talking about? You must be ready. You must be ready for such things. It might demand, or it will demand letting go of some things, some habits, some stuffs, some things that you've accustomed to, some friends. If it means letting go of those things, please do. When I got born again, we were taught. Now, when you get saved, the first thing you do is you disconnect from your old friends, because all things have passed away. Hallelujah. And that's not an old message. It's still necessary that you do that. He said, well, they're just my friends. Let me say this to you. When I got saved, I had two friends. We were very close. Like, very close. Like, very close. But we were just normal people, unbelievers, young guys. When we meet together, we read our books together quite all right. Okay? But then we discuss about, as secondary school boys, we discuss different girls. Praise God. Who are you interested in? Who am I interested in? We wrote love letters. Amen. Yeah. And all that. And some other thing we did, that we were checking people on behalf of people. If you like a girl, you're not bold enough to approach her, we can go approach her for you and say, well, this is called audacity. Amen. So we're audacious in Christ. Amen. So we're just very good friends. But you see, when I got born again, I knew I had to stop being their friends. You say, well, does it matter? Can't you just tell them you're no longer like that? How can you do that? The Bible tells us that evil communication will corrupt good manners. Because I'm going to charge you this year. Some of you need to end some bad. Let me tell you, the reason your Christian life has been dragging all along is because of the kind of company you've been keeping. I don't know who this is for, but if it's for you, take it. So I decided I was going to end that. But it was very tough because they were my friends from JS1. Here was I trying to end the whole friendship, whatever. And they have not done me any wrong. I don't even get the point. It's not like they annoyed me and I was still quarreling with them. So I just prayed. I said, Father, help me. I don't want to go back. I don't want to slack back. And I know I can't keeping these guys around. And then I prayed. And God said, just put in your... I think I was sharing with somebody. That was my first experience of God keeping his word for me since I got saved. God said, okay, that was second experience, sorry. God said, don't worry, just do your part. Put in an effort. I am going to help you. That was all. So I decided I was going to do something. So then in secondary school, during break, once, because normally we talk during break, and then after school, we walk home together. I'm not that agile like you, amen. We walk home. Did you walk home from school? You did. Some of you don't even know what it looks like to walk home from school. Praise God. Don't worry, my kids will not walk home from school. Amen. I'll make sure they don't. But I did. Amen. Not all the way, anyway. We walk to a point, then we enter our bus and all that. But then, so we walk home together. So that's the only time we talk and we see. So I decided during break, once we just ring the bell for break. I'm remembering some things. You remember bell for break? Once they ring that bell, I'll just get out my Bible. Sit on my seat and start studying it. I start praying. So when they want to come to talk to me, they say, he's praying, he's studying. And I'm going to stay like that until the break. And thankfully enough, I was fasting throughout that period. So there's no point going out to go and buy okpa. Amen. Did you ever buy okpa in school? Yeah. Wow. So there's no point going out to go and buy okpa. I'll just sit down there. Now, I did that. And so there was no time for us to sit and talk. So and then after school, we have to walk home together.
So I decided I was going to mastermind and control the flow of the communication. So once we step out, I see, if you see one program we attended over the weekend, very powerful. The man of God was teaching. I'll be talking about program. When we are done with the program, and they just want to bring up something else, after 3 minutes after, but I said, that's even what Pastor said in that program. So with time, we all became boring to ourselves. Amen. We bought ourselves out. Amen. And then God said he was going to help me. And he did. It didn't take time. They changed school. The glory of God. And I stayed on my own. Amen. My point is, I decided I was going to, because that's part of consecration. Because I wanted my spiritual life to count. Amen. You cannot have people who don't care about the supernatural, who don't care about the Bible, who don't care about prayer, and they're supposed to make it, build a strong spiritual life. You can't succeed. Consecration might demand that you shift from that company. I get the point. You do. And let me even put this another way. If those people are even believers, but they are not committed to their spiritual growth and they're not making an effort towards it, it will affect you. The deception that many of us have is, I can keep those friends, they don't affect me. It's a lie. Big lie. They will affect you. You know, it was the white man that said, show me your friends. And it's not a joke. It is true. It is true. It is true. Check what you did wrong last year. Check your circle of friends. It came from them. They influenced you in one way or the other. They did. At first, when they're talking about you, you're saying, God forbid, how can you be living like that? Don't be like that. But gradually, you gradually accept it as a norm. You may not know you're doing that already. And before you know you're living it, it becomes a part of you. You're attempting it. And according to consecration will demand that you shift away from such things, from such people. Those days when we were when we were in school, minister to some cult guys, one of the things we normally do, once they get saved, all those guys that belong to one cult or the other, we'll normally tell them, even if you have paid, some of them have paid for house rent where they were living, and they were three or four in the room with their fellow cult guys, I'll say, leave that place. We'll have to arrange another accommodation for them. I know what I'm talking about. Because they can't remain in that place and say nothing will happen to them. Something will happen to them. Are you following me at all? So we have to move them from that place. Say, let's get another accommodation for you entirely. So that you stay there. Create a new community for you. That's consecration. Where you stay away from, though you might like those people, but you stay away from such company because it is going to harm you. And so that's the life of consecration. It will mean giving your life and living your life for Christ. Amen. Letting go of some things and rights and privileges for the sake of the gospel. Paul will talk about it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13. Is it 1 Corinthians 9:13? He said, to the Jew, he said, I became a Jew. So there are times that you become different things to different people just because of the sake of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 9:13. He said, do you not, okay, this is another part of consecration where he was talking about the fact that even though, because I like this particular part, and I just don't want to talk about it because this is a minister's conference. But let me just mention it. He was saying, even though it is right to collect money on the room and all that, when you go out to minister, he said, but for this Corinthian church, he didn't collect anything from them. He said, I've not used any of these rights. He said, because there was a case, they said, for this, so that you'll be blessed by the gospel. The same thing you find us do, the ministers in this church do. I know it is right that a pastor should be on salary, but I'm not saying we're not going to do that. But at least for now, why are we doing it? Because we are looking at the church and looking at a lot of things the church has to do. So we're letting go of all those salary. For the past, since whatever page started, we've not collected anything like salary from anybody. It's part of consecration. I get the point. Where you let go of something so that the gospel can move forward. It's part of your consecration. Paul will say, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Gentile, to the Greek, I became Greek. To the free, so you see him being different things just for the sake of the gospel. So consecration is to place the cause of Christ above everything else. Part of consecration, like I talked about, look at that, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. Let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. You see, there could be a part where consecration demands also that you give your finances for the sake of the gospel. It's part of consecration. He said, is that one part of it too? He said, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So he said, they gave themselves to the Lord and gave themselves to us. What is Paul talking about here? You want to know? giving money. Read from verse 1. He said they were in much poverty, but they gave. He said that liberality abounded. So that's what Paul explains in verse 5 as giving themselves to the Lord. That's why the Bible will tell us in Matthew 6, verse 21, that's the way a man's heart is, there his treasure is. And so, if you're going to be someone that lives a consecrated life, you must be a person that is ready to give yourself, give your life, give your finances. I'm not just talking about giving as God has prospered you. That is a part of that. That's a way, a part of doing that. I'm talking about giving yourself, your finances, beyond, sometimes beyond your ability. Say, ah, sir, is that one part of it? That's part of give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Give your life for the gospel. Give in everything. Give in everything. Hallelujah. You see people quit their jobs for the gospel. That's consecration. Don't judge them. That's part of consecration. You see people let go of some things for the gospel. That's part of consecration. You see people pick a seemingly smaller job because they want to be more committed to the gospel. That's part of consecration. You see people give their whole money. Sometimes shut down their accounts. Don't laugh at them. And let me say this to you. If you have friends who laugh at you or who judge you for giving, feeling you are giving too much, they might not be your good friends. Hallelujah. You should have people that spur you to give your all. Spur you to give bigger. Not because you guys are competing as for who can give better, but because both of you know that the cause of Christ must prosper. Remember I said the key word in consecration is what? For Christ. Amen? For Christ. Anything you do for Christ is consecration. For Christ. You see, the Bible will tell us not to, you know, don't allow affliction in your life. Remember, I normally teach that. Don't allow affliction. But the Bible will also tell us that sometimes men can afflict you and persecute you for the sake of Christ. Bible said, if that one happens, he said, rejoice. That one is good because it's for Christ. I didn't get the point. It's for Christ. So in 2021, I'm making a call, first of all, to your spiritual growth. Second, I'm making a call to consecration. A better Christian life. So I will be a better Christian this year. A better Christian life. A stronger Christian walk. A stronger walk with God. A stronger walk with God. Hallelujah. A stronger walk with God. Stronger walk with God. Stronger walk with God. Part of consecration, for instance, is will be seen in your commitment to the church. This year you must decide, I will not come to church when it is convenient. Because that's a mistake some of us make. I've come to church when I can. No, I don't come to church when I can. I come to church when I should. Praise God. I come to church when I should. That's where you find out that if you spend 1,000 naira or 5,000 naira to be in church on a Sunday, you didn't waste it. You don't come to church when you can. You come when you should. Consecration demands that I've given my life to the cause of God, of the gospel, and the church is the body of Christ. So I'll give myself to the cause of the church. That's where we'll talk about committing to the church, being more committed. You can decide as part of my consecration this year, I'm going to be a more committed Christian, more committed to the church of God, more committed to my department, more committed to what I'm doing. I'm not going to be here and there. I will always be here. I will always be. You know, some of you wonder why, if you're a worker in this place, I demand you must always be around. Always. Some of you, during break or what, some of you that are students, during break, you have to come and tell me that you want to travel. I'm going to tell you when you're going to come back. Why don't you just allow us to live our lives? No. Part of your consecration is that you give yourself to the cause of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where you don't just stand up and say, well, I'm going to travel and I come back when I can. When you see people who talk like that, without considering whether the church is whatever, praise God. And I was talking with Evans yesterday. I was telling me he has to travel to go see his people. I said, okay, that's wonderful. Because here in this church, we don't make light of family. You've noticed, right? I value your family so much. First, I'm going to travel to go see my people. He said, my only problem is I cannot travel if some of these people are not back yet so that things can be. And that's a way a believer should think. I get to the point. That's the way a believer. You don't say, well, I just carry myself and travel. Is it? Is it me that I should not bring another person? I'll come and handle it now. I'll just go. Don't be like that. So I don't care. Before I came, how were they doing it? Don't be like that. That's not how Christians think.
Are you getting the point?
A life of commitment. A life of consecration. You know, when I teach our leaders, sometimes I teach on what I call the goalkeeper mindset. I don't remember that. Yeah, some of that have been with me for some time. I teach about the goalkeeper mindset. I tell that a goalkeeper is not the same with, you know, you must begin to see yourself like a goalkeeper. That word, that term means begin to see yourself like, I am very relevant. I am not indispensable, but I'm relevant. So if I'm not here, something might go wrong. Begin to see yourself like that. The extreme of it is pride. But then that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Well, you know, I'm relevant. Why do I use goalkeeper? In a football match, you see, a striker can get injured and you move him from the pitch. The match will still go on until he comes back. You get the point? A defender could. But if a goalkeeper is injured, the match cannot go on until he's back on his feet or they replace him. So you must see yourself in the body of Christ like, I am relevant. Don't see yourself as one of those people in the number. If I'm not there, another person will do it. Don't see yourself like that. I'm relevant. God wants me here. Are you getting the point? I like to tell you guys, I'm important too. I'm important to God. You say, well, God asks many people he's using, but there is one hand that he's using too. I count. Amen? I matter. And so I'm going to commit myself because if I'm not here, something may go wrong. So you stay committed. Stay committed. Decide this year, I'm going to stay more committed to God's work. Stay more committed. That's part of your consecration. So you must decide that this year you're going to live a consecrated life. Better Christian life. That's why one of the things that you must be open to this year, for instance, is correction. Correction. Because a lot of it will be coming from me, except you're not close to me. A lot of it will be coming from me. Some of them will come jokingly. Some of them will come sternly. I can look at you and say, this way you are always late to church these days. Stop it. I must be open to such things. It's to make you a better Christian. Hallelujah. Make a better Christian. Or the way you always sleep in church during message. Stop it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'll be a better Christian this year. I will not be Eutychus. I'll fall off from the top of the building and die because of sleep. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you something this year. I shouldn't announce this now, but let me just say it for a reason. We've been talking about starting a second service, right? Huh? And that's going to start this year. Like from first week of February. Now, let me tell you why I mentioned that. It means more commitment. If you're a worker here, it means you're staying for two services every day. Are you getting the point? That's what it means. That's what it means. Every day, we're going to stay more committed. Hallelujah. Praise God. What it means, the choir will now rehearse for two songs every Sunday. You get the point? Everything will just change. We must, and it takes a, you know, I was telling you guys a story, some of our leaders. When I was in Spiritual Father's Church sometime last year, went for a meeting, and one of those days, Reverend said, we're going to start the next day by 7:30 a.m. 7:30? 7:30 a.m. And one of the things that I've tried to make my custom over time is to be in every meeting I attend. Once I'm not the preacher, meeting I'm just attending, at least 20 minutes before it starts. I'm start cultivating it. Okay? If you follow me to a meeting any day, you should know. So I've tried to make that my culture. So I said I was going to walk into this meeting early. By the time I could get in around 7:10, everything, and it's not like this, it's not their church hall like our own. Okay, so they dismantle and they set up. By the time I come around 7:10, everything was fully set. I said, when I mean everything, I mean everything was set. The camera was already standing where it was, but it was already videoing, said, just it has not gone live. But already seen it on the screen. Everything by 20 minutes. And how is it now? Why did that craze me, Abby? Whatever. It's because that was Lagos. You get what I'm saying? And you know what Lagos means. Now, for them to arrive there and do that, it means eat up many things. Either some of them slept in church.
Okay?
Or some of them lodged in a hotel
around the church.
Or some of them left their houses by 3 a.m. in the morning or 4 a.m. to get there. That's Lagos for you. And that's consecration. That's a lot of commitment for me. And I was just still going over it in my head, and I heard some of them talking. They were like, man, I had to leave my house by 4. I think after his team, didn't even announce that. I had to check into a hotel around there, able to get any money. That's consecration. That's commitment. For the sake of the gospel. I get to the point. It's not this one that's still that doing service and somebody's rushing with saying, praise God. I'm coming to that this morning still. Today. Praise God. Say this year, more consecration, more commitment. Hallelujah. I'll be a better Christian this year. So that day, that really challenged me. I was like, wow. Wow. And so this year we're going to start a second service. But apart from that, you must be committed. You see, some of us find this strange. So why will we not be in church today? Why don't you always come to church on Thursdays? It's I'm working. I don't find this strange. I started practicing going from school to church from my secondary school days. I wish my sister was here because she was my partner there. We used to attend one fellowship on Tuesdays by 4. The secondary school I attended, we close every day by 4. Okay? And so, when we close by 4, I would trek from my school. Some of you that know Nsukka very well, you know my school, right? I'll trek from my school up to that, you know, that Otenibo side, and then go to church and stay in the fellowship sometimes, if not all the time, because that's how I practice trekking. Use my transport fare to give offering and walk home. I go to church. We were screened from every day. So Tuesdays, it was not in the house. I'll be back around 7 or 8 every day. It was norm. It was a norm. So it's still a norm to me. Thursdays, there was another fellowship I attended. I would also go with my school uniform to the fellowship. It was a normal thing for me. Are you following me? And that's a level of consecration. So nothing like I'm working. My Thursdays are just off. What will happen if you close by 5:30 or close by 6 and rush from there to work to church? You are not being weird. You are being normal. That's the Christian life. Amen. Praise God. Why am I saying all of this? The way the world is designed, if you don't deliberately begin to take your spiritual life seriously, the world can overwhelm you. Studies can be overwhelming. How many of you know that? Work can be overwhelming that you forget yourself entirely. So this year, it is to a, so cheers to a better Christian life. Amen. Praise God. A better Christian life. A more consecrated life. A more consecrated life. So I've said two things now, right? Number one, spiritual growth. Number two, a consecrated life. The third thing the Lord said I should charge you with for this year is a life of diligence. A life of diligence. A life of diligence will pay you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 with King James. Let's start with King James. Open your Bible, everybody. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Some of you, these things will keep you very strong as far as this year is concerned. Hallelujah. To keep you very strong as far as this year is concerned. A diligent life will always produce results. Look at what it said. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent will make him rich. But diligence, you know, check in dictionary, it means a steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Devoted and painstaking work, application to accomplish an undertaking. You see, that's vigor or that drive or will to succeed, that is accompanied with hard work. I'm talking about hard work this morning. If you're going to succeed in 2020, you must be a 21 rather, sorry. You must be a diligent person. And you see, the principles to wealth are not far-fetched from the word of God. The principles that can make success are not far-fetched. Look at it. He become poor and dealt with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make it rich. Everybody in this church, I've made it a must. I know everybody here has one or two things doing.
you're a student or you're something, be diligent and committed to your work. I normally say this, your will or passion to succeed must be stronger than the will of the devil to make you fail. You get the point? Your passion to succeed in life, in your affairs, must be strong. Must be willing to be strong, must be willing to commit, be diligent, be devoted, be rugged, be hardworking. Every day of the year must be spent being productive. That's diligence. That's diligence. You can't be running a business of your own and you handle it like it's a part-time thing. You must face it with everything in you. And that's what it's going to produce. The difference between you and some other people is diligence, consistency, consistently being diligent. You don't wake up one morning, just like I was talking about prayer, and you put in all your efforts and do the work, you know, put in work in your business and all that, and then 2 days after, you are gone. Most of us, we are not doing well because we are not diligent, okay? We are just, and sometimes it's carelessness. Sometimes what some of your business is demand is just to post on Facebook every day. Yes, you cannot be diligent with that. Are you following me? It's diligence. In Proverbs again, chapter 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13 verse 4. He said, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So don't end with desire. Be diligent. Hallelujah. Put in work. Now I say this every day in this place. Part of the reason why I try to be committed and diligent as a pastor, it's not the reason, but part of the reason. You know, I'm a diligent pastor, right? Yeah. Part of the reason I do that is to model diligence for you in your everyday life. Okay? The same kind of hard work, it should be seen in your own everyday life. In your studies, for instance, the distance between you and your first class might just be a little more diligence. And take it from me, seriously, a little more diligence. You can't keep making excuses for failure. What are excuses? Excuses are good reasons for failure. That's what they are. Good reasons for failure. He said, well, I didn't do well because, you know, everybody understands. It's not like I didn't want to. You are giving a good reason, but at the end of the day, you failed. Every small thing can become big if you add diligence to it. So in your own business, in your studies, you're going to ask yourself, what more can I do to be more diligent with my work? What more can I do? Praise God. What more can I do to be more diligent with my work? So there must be diligence. There must be hard work. Let me see that passion. Let me see that drive in you. Let me see that drive in you. Let me see you take those steps and be consistently diligent and passionate and hardworking. I charge you with this at all times. The way Paul put it, he said, if anybody does not work, let him not eat. You know, when I was studying the epistles, it dawned on me that the culture we received in Christ does not have laziness. I'm not talking about spiritual things, generally. Paul will say, I heard, it was strange to him, that some of you are busybodies, not working at all. So I heard. He said to those people, we tell them that you should walk and eat their own bread. Amen. Tell them, say, eat your own bread. You see, much as it is good that people give money to you, supernatural, miraculous provision from different people. You see, the bulk of the money you enjoy must come from your work. I didn't get a point. You know, you look at a pastor, you say, this pastor is not doing anything, but he's getting money. That's not true. The bulk of the money he gets too, some of the pastors you know, come from their work. You say, which work? They're preaching and they're teaching. So people that are blessing are giving money to them. I didn't get the point. That same diligence should be seen in your work. I get the point. A little more commitment to change a lot of things. For us, some of us that are students, a little more, if you're a student around me, you know, I always say this, read your book. It's not just a chance. It is because that is what might change everything for you. Sometimes I see students in school, and I see them while away their time. And I wonder whether they know that today will determine their next 5 years. Are you getting me? Some of them may not know that the difference between them and their neighbor in the next 3 years might be this unseriousness that's showing in school today.
So be diligent. How many of you want to do business? But getting a good result will not hurt. I follow him at all. So I'm a diligent man. Once again, so I'm diligent. So there must be that hard work scene. And especially some of you that are starting something or you are running something of your own. Such things never grow without hard work. I'll give you an example. You want to learn a skill. You can decide, that's what I'm talking about, diligence. You can decide to use 6 months to learn one skill. Another person can learn that skill in 1 month is diligence. I get to the point. You can decide to use 6 months, say, what are you doing? In July, I say, what have you been doing since January? He say, well, I've been developing myself, learning, what's the version one skill? Sewing is a skill. Give me a digital skill. Video editing, copywriting. He said, I've been taking courses for the past 6 months. That's all you did with 6 months. A diligent man can commit 1 month of his day, night, and perfect in that thing. I know somebody that learned graphic design in 1 week. He said, I'm telling you the truth. It's diligence. And it's not the graphic design. It's not, you know, there's graphic design. And there is praise God. There's graphic design. There's some, you know, let's see diligence. Let's see hard work. Praise God. You've been learning photography for the past 3 years. Look at what you are still snapping. What you lack is diligence. I wish you can just put in a little more work. Spend a little more money. Go on YouTube. Get videos. Pay. Do anything. Be diligent. Let me see hard work. Amen. This week, this month, or this year, I'm charging you. You know, we've talked about spirituality right now. Amen. I'm talking about your life now. Let's see diligence. Let's see hard work. Where you are. You know, one of the things that God loves doing is to support your hard work. God loves it. I get the point. To aid hard work, to aid diligence, to aid it. Don't while away your time. So sometimes I kind of think that the reason why a lot of us have time to sin too much is because we don't have anything to do. And I was talking to one girl. Who was that? She was struggling with something. And then after some time, I got her busy. Not me, actually. She got busy with a lot of things. But from spiritual stuff, I got her busy with. She got a job and became so busy. So one day, recently I was asking her, how far that stop? She said, it's not even if you have time. And so I remember the person. But I was asking her because then she was so, you know, guys, you are stopping her. That was when I met her and you anyway. One guy after another, and she was struggling. So she met me, got born again, but she was still struggling with it. So we got busy with spiritual life, gave her SMS and all that. And then Lord prospered her, gave her a job. And she became too busy. So after like 8 months, I said, how far that stop? He said, ha, see, let me tell you, I don't see myself. Some of us are too busy and sane because we are lazy. I didn't get the point. Get busy. Get busy. Growing up, I met pastors who wake up every morning and all they do is chewing stick, listening to radio. And that day, I decided I will not be this kind of pastor. I'll be hardworking. Amen. I get to the point. I learned from Bishop Oyedepo to take your ministry like business. He said, I wake up every morning, 7 a.m., I'm in the office. Nobody's going to flog you if you don't go there. But that's diligence. I follow me this morning. If I still here, say amen. So you must be hardworking. So look at that scripture. Say the soul of the sluggard. Should I show two more scriptures? Proverbs 21, verse 5. Sam, a diligent man. So you must commit to diligence. Look at what it says. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So when you are diligent, you have plenty. These are Bible principles. You have plenty. In the popular one, Proverbs 22, verse 29, seest thou a man diligent in his work. Hallelujah. His business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Once you are diligent in your work, you will stand before some kind of people. So this is to more diligence. It's not a lazy year. Amen? It's not a lazy year. Because you don't have a lazy pastor. Praise God. And so you cannot be a lazy Christian. Neither will you be a lazy businessman. Neither will you be a lazy student. And that brings me to friendships again. You have friends that all they do is wake up in the morning, sit around, discuss, while away that time, laugh, dress up, go out, shift from them. You are about to waste another year. You're about to waste another year. They didn't even care. Where do we even go to? Let's just go out. We go out, we walk in, walk out. You know, and I realize that there are some people that leave their house without having anywhere they're going to. I never knew people do that. Stand up and leave the house, just walking up and down. And especially ladies. And how do you know they don't know where they're going to? A guy will just say, hello, can I? Let's hang out. And from there, you hang out. Where are you going to? Praise God. Don't while away your time. I keep serious people around me, amen? You must be very serious. Serious with your Christian life. Serious with making money. And succeeding. You must be serious around me. Are you getting me? You know, I told you, how many of you believe this year are going to count in millions? Yeah, put it in front of your phone. Put it on your whatever. This month, this year, millions. The way that you see it, you're looking at it, you must be ready to make money this year. And it comes by diligence. You know, I'm fully against Yahoo boys, you know, right? Every day, I am. But you know, there are a thing or two you could see from those guys. You know, Yahoo boys, diligence. Some of them put on gen from morning till night in their house. You've seen some of them. Maybe like about five friends, but they put money, put on gen, and from morning till night, their pressing system, these are the ones that peak. Okay? Just like that, investing their effort in the wrong things. And some of them don't know. I was telling one of them, I said, see, this same diligence you're putting in nonsense, if you put it on the right, it will still pay. It's diligence. Let me get a point. If you start a business and the same way you put on gen from morning till night, pressing from pressing system, morning till night, you put on the gen and you're using it for something worthwhile, it will still produce. So be diligent. Amen. Don't sleep more than is necessary. Of course, rest as much as you can. But don't sleep more than is necessary. Get to work. Say, my hands will be busy this year. So maybe I'm talking about money, but then you're a student. What matters to you this year is to succeed academically. Please focus on your book. Books are not to be read only during exam period. Let me tell a student by your side, say, books are not to be read only during exam period. Hallelujah. And that's one easy way to fail in the university. As a secondary school student, that can work. You know, right? Secondary school exam period, you just read. But as a university student, it can work because sometimes the courses are too cumbersome. Lecturers have not even taught you the things. Because secondary school, they are teaching you every day about them. University, nobody has ever taught you those things. Not the school you went to. But lecture, they just tell you, ah, well, you know this, know that, you know that. You have to go and put in effort. Let diligence be seen. Let diligence be seen. Let it influence everything. But the Lord said I should emphasize on this year. Remember last year, I talked about things, something like this too. Hard work. Get your hands busy. I keep, you know, one of the things I keep telling our pastors anytime we meet, you know, I say, dirty your hands. That's a very from me. Learn to dirty. If you don't want to dirty your hands, you don't want results. Dirty your hands. Get to work. Get the point. Don't be found just loafing around and keeping loafers around you, expecting that things will change. I keep saying, we're going to have miraculous supplies this year. But let the miracles God works in your life, let them be an addition to what you had before. Let them not be a replacement. Do you know what I'm saying? Let it not be that when God is working a miracle in your life and is bringing in the 300,000, you are totally dry and in debt. So when it comes, 300K enters, you now pay debts and pay debts and pay debts and pay debts. and I have 30,000 naira. He said, Father, I say trust you for more. Hallelujah. So get to work. From when? From now. Some of you are still waking up from the year. Christmas has ended. I hope you know. I'm telling you the truth. The reason people complain, January is 62 days. January is just 31 days. It's because you wake up late in January. Between January 1st and 2nd, some have made money. A lot. It is work. Get to work. Don't wake. Stop waking up. Say, hey, wow. This year, sir, we go make them. Some that are awake already. Praise God. Wake up to your books already. Wake up to business. Get to work immediately. Some people don't ever start their year till after Valentine. I wonder what you are doing. Praise God. Praise God. Hard work. Praise God. I'm a diligent man. Once again, your will and commitment to succeed must be strong. And finally, the last thing the Lord said I should talk to you about this morning is excellence. Make a commitment to excellence. Make a commitment to excellence. What is excellence? Excellence is to exceed expectations. To exceed expectations. Now, I will talk about everything today. I will talk about church. I will talk about your business. I will talk about life. You must be excellent. You must have an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude towards life. The Bible tells us that Daniel and his friends, they had an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was found in them. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. No. That's talking about the fact that they had this attitude of excelling at what they do. Excelling at what they do. So first of all, excellence means to exceed your expectation. One division I've given about excellence in church here is to achieve much with little. Remember, I keep saying that. That's excellence. Excellence is when everything you have, for instance, as the music director or as the creativity, whatever, is not up to what you need to produce results. But you will shall produce results. You know, something I learned from my spiritual father, and it has blessed me. He said, excellence is affordable. It's achievable at any level. At whatever level you are, you can achieve excellence. Some of us, because I'll come into another division of excellence, for instance, is order. Excellence is order. Some of us, what is missing in your place of work or your business is a little order and excellence. And this will begin to move. I get the point. The difference sometimes between what people want to pay for your product and what they're paying for other people's own is the excellence and order around it. So around your spiritual life, around your business, around church, your work in church, decide to be an excellent person. Let me show you a scripture. First Kings. Is it First Kings? First Kings chapter 10. First Kings chapter 10. From verse 1. Now, I like also to look at the screen because this blessed me. He said, and when the queen of Sheba, you know, kind of Sheba or Bathsheba, where is she from? Whatever. Heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him without questions. So she came to ask, she came to test his wisdom. She heard that the guy was wise. So in verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was up, so she had money. It wasn't about money. What do you think excellence is all about? Money. She had money. So she came with all of them. Okay, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Okay. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's what? So she saw wisdom. What did she see? The house that he had built, verse 5. And the meat of his table. So she saw wisdom even in the meat. I'm going to show you this. And the sitting of his servants, the way the guys were seated, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent. Put up like NLT of this verse. So she saw the order around his house. And that's what she called wisdom. He said she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his tables, the organization of his officials, and their splendid clothing. the cupbearer, the burnt offerings, everything. How the guys, that's why I tell the ushering team, because I will come for them this year. You see, excellence is seen in order. So she came and just saw how they were organized, they were seated, and she was blown away. So people can come and see how a church is arranged and say, man, these people are wise. This can be seen in wisdom, in order. You know, sometimes in your business, if you can just bring a little more order, if you can just decide that it's this person that collects money, not anybody can be paid. You know, you get some of those businesses, you say, who is there? What are you seeing there? Okay, a dark boy, ask him if his name is Emeka, give him the money. Emeka is not there, look for Nkechi, give her the money. You see that kind of place? He doesn't ever do well. He can't exceed some things. A little more order will change everything. Can't you see how you are ready to go into a place and pay 5,000 for the same thing that you will not pay 1,000 for in another place? It's just order that they brought in. What did they do? They put AC. And put somebody at the door that will be opening the door and saying, welcome. Please, I'm just telling you. And then put the receptionist that will say, what can we do for you, please? And then you are ready to pay everything. Say, these guys, they will have their things, we have quality. It's all in your mind. A little more order will change everything. Hallelujah. It will change. That's excellence. Excellence is to exceed expectation. I'm saying again, excellence is order. So they saw all of that. Okay, look at verse 6. Let's just complete this. She exclaimed to the king, everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. In verse 7, I didn't believe what was said until I arrived there and I saw it with my own eyes. In fact, so she saw wisdom in their organization. She saw wisdom in how orderly those guys were. She saw wisdom in how they were dressed. I didn't get a point. She saw wisdom. So people can taste excellence. Say, I'm an excellent man. Once again, say, I exceed expectations. I have order. So you must be an orderly person. Praise God. Must be an orderly person. Bring in some order to your business. Bring in some order to your life. Another definition of excellence, for instance, is perfection. I like this one. Perfection. Excellence is that you try to achieve perfection. You see, don't be comfortable with mediocrity in your life. Don't be comfortable with small things. With mediocrity. Praise God. Come, look at an excellent man. You see, an average person would try to keep this flower this way. He wanted to keep it this way. And then finally, just stood this way. Just a little different. And you say, well, that's not too bad. It's still standing, sha. That's mediocrity. I want to cut a block shape and somehow this side is slanty. It's not like, I say, well, it's when you look whether you notice it. Nobody will notice it. That's mediocrity. You must insist on perfection. Amen? Insist on excellence in what you do. You know, sometimes I just try to leave some people here because maybe I'm just trying to be a pastor and be a father and allow people to grow at their different levels. But I don't take anything that is not up to my standard. You will never know until one day that you sew clothes for me as my tailor. I'll just warn you, if this is not how I said, you will wear it and pay me back. Because I see some people, they say, it's not good, it's not like that, but it's this style. Don't style for me, just do what I said you should do. That's perfection. And that's what you should. You know, we went to sew clothes one day, the guy finished sewing and put Manu badge. And it was amazing. Of all badges. But then, put Manu badge and look at the story here. I said, why? He said, not the style. And I said, look at, can you imagine? I said, if I close my eye and open it, remove it. And if I'm removing it and I see any whatever, I see the line of the thread, you buy the clothes. You cannot want to, you see, excellence is perfection. This, as in, try to achieve perfection. Excellence is seen, for instance, in the choir. He said, let's try to do this thing this way. He said, we're not getting the child, but it's still good. That's an excellent person. That's an excellent person. It's perfection. We give you a song to score. You just play. Then you say, well, I never get an shabo. I know the notes. So I'll just find my way around it. You can't do a lot of things like that. Amen? You can't do a lot of things like that. You can't. So some of you might need to go back to those skills that you feel you have learned and you've not improved on it till now. So go and sharpen some things. Excellence will take you very far. You get the point? Sharpen something. Get better at those things. Don't always sew clothes and explain the clothes to us. Don't always do that. Come and say, it's because it's the style. Why are you explaining your clothes? You didn't sew it well. If it was fine, you wouldn't be better. It's a style. It's a new style that came out. It's, you know, tell of my mistake or what style. That's nonsense. You made a mistake. Fix it. And try to achieve a lot of excellence in what you do. So bring it into your business, amen. And I said you can, excellence is achievable at any level you are. Now people say, well, excellence is about money, but it's not true. I tell you, some of the things you are using here in this church are not what I would actually want to use. Let me get a point. That's the truth. But at the level we are, we have to try to be excellent at this level. You get it, but that's a proof that when more money comes, we will do better too. It must be excellent. Even your dressing. Praise God. That's excellent dressing. How many of you know that? That's not being extravagant. Excellent dressing is not going to spend all your money buying clothes. How many of you know there was a time in my life as a pastor, I had one trouser, one black trouser. You may not believe. It's only guys that will believe. Okay, one. And that was because of what I had, but I wore it and rocked it with style. You have to wear it well. And that's excellent. What do you need at that point is to keep it clean. Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask to just keep your trouser clean? At any level, you can achieve excellence. Your business, you might not have money to rent a big space like ShopRite and put everything you want. But what you can do now, be excellent at it. You see, you rent a shop, you just start using the shop like that, like a mad person's place. How much will it take to just paint? Okay, paint it. Just paint it. Just small things that you can just add. You say, sir, is this one part of church? You better listen carefully. One can live a stupid life outside. That's the same thing I tell our workers, bring it in here. Bring it in here. You know, there's an, you know, there is excellence in ushering. That's order. You can't just stand anyhow. We say you should carry your welcome to church. Carrying is like, why are you slacking? Please stand straight and elegant and with boldness and with a loud smile. Are you getting me? Stand well and say, you're welcome. Just
say, yeah, welcome.
What's wrong with you? We can perceive order. We can perceive it. Praise God. Praise God. Let's see excellence. Don't say, especially for our workers in this place, don't say anything, because anything cannot go this year. Are you getting the point? Anything cannot go this year. Because you might find me turning some things down. Anything you are doing for us in this church? Okay. You could finish doing the decoration, because I've just been putting up some time. I come, I don't like it. I say, bring it down. Bring it down. It's not because some of this why I insist on those things, so that in your everyday life, you will learn to insist on getting it right. I didn't get the point. Don't just snap any picture like the other photos and just posting all over the place. Say it's fine, you know. And they are now trying to explain to me why it's not. Say it's because the light went here. Will you explain to everybody on the website why the picture is not fine? Next time when you snap and post it, just write the light. Why are you explaining to us? Continue until you get it right. Amen. Continue until it's perfect. Excellence is achievable at whatever level. I get to the point. Today, You are using this kind of LED screen. Tomorrow we're going to get a bigger LED screen and cover this whole place. But until we get there, we must be excellent at the ones we are doing now. I didn't get what I'm saying. That's excellence. I get the point. That's excellence. And so, take it back to your everyday life. Live an excellent life. Three things. Exceed expectations. Be orderly. Perfect. Strive towards perfection. I didn't get the point. Strive towards perfection. Strive towards perfection. Some of you that are in the crypto world or in the maybe Forex or something, we bear me witness that one mistake you make can make you lose everything. Just one carelessness and say, it's not just one this thing. You lose everything you have. Or the profit you're supposed to make, you just lose it. And that's where perfection comes in. Let me get a point. Just something you're supposed to do and you didn't do it, and then everything is gone. So there must be that perfection that we need. Hallelujah. So I'm charging you to four things this year. But one, I said your spiritual growth, which basically talks about the word of God and your prayer life. Secondly, I'm talking about your consecration. A better Christian life, a life given to the Lord, given to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ this year. A life, thirdly, I'm talking about a life of diligence, hard work, serious-minded life. And fourthly, a life of excellence. This will translate. Don't even in your Bible study, you can be excellent in Bible study. You can be excellent in your prayer life. You can be excellent in your love work. You can be excellent in everything. You can be excellent in your work in church. Even timing. Excellence is, that's what I told you, excellence is order. Timing is part of excellence too. Say, what time did we start? Those of them in the church already know. We didn't start. We just started by 8:01. It's already against my faith. You've annoyed me. It's 8:01. No. Rather start 7:59. I get to the point. That is excellence. That is excellence. And same thing as the starting, everything is starting. Let's not be comfortable with mediocrity. We just start, and it's that time we are trying to put on TV. It's that time we are trying to set this. Can't everything be set ahead of time? That's attaining perfection. Then when we now start the streaming, they will now start touching it. Ide show. What are all those things? What are all those things? This year, we'll fight a lot in this church. Positively. Until we start getting things right. And you know one thing about order. Once you bring in order and you stay it rolling, it becomes easier. Some of you that were here long ago, let me just say this and we'll start closing. Some of you that were here when we started newly, before when I was still pastoring Abani and this place. You remember our timing was very poor? Right? Do you remember? Remember I called that meeting to talk about timing? And when I called that meeting, that very interesting meeting, it almost looked impossible that we can all be seated here by 8 o'clock. Remember? But over time, it's now a norm. Once you bring in order, it just begins to flow. Are you following me at all? It's now a norm. So those days, we never imagined that service could start by 8 o'clock. But now, over how many months, years now, nobody can even remember that service can ever start late. So some of us, right in your house, you can check your time and tell what you are doing in church right now. Let me get a point. And that's order. That's excellence. That's order. You are so sure that by 9:30, pastor is about climbing stage. Now. You just know your heart. That is order. That's the kind of things you need to bring into your business. That's the kind of things that exist in some big firms that you admire. Banks and all that. Work opens by this. 4 o'clock, we are closed. That's just order. People will celebrate it and respect it. Then you try to exceed expectation. You try to attain perfection. Hallelujah. And a man told me a story. Talking about excellence this morning. A man told me a story. How a very wealthy guy. He graduated from UNN. From veterinary medicine. With a third class. That's one thing that if you go to UNN. And you studied vet. You know what it means to study vet. Some of them stay 10 years in school. So he studied vet, came out with a third class. He said, when I came out from school, I was so sure I was not going anywhere with this result. I can't even do anything. He said, what I learned to do, I've told this story a couple of times, what I knew how to do, I sew. So he started selling ties. No tie. I started distributing and selling, you know. So you sew it and carry it to corporate places, carry it to banks, and then you sew it, you sell to them. And so one of those days, he had made those ties and brought it to a bank. And all these girls, all these Pepper Dem Gang girls, I said, bring the tie. And he bought it. It was like, what kind of nonsense is this? My boyfriend cannot wear this kind of tie. You know, leave, get out of this place with this stuff, you know. I said, he was angry. So he just stormed out. He said, and he's a believer. He said, as he was stopping, I said, the Spirit of God told him, why not go and ask her what kind of tie her boyfriend wears? So he returned and said, what kind of tie does her boyfriend wear? She mentioned the tie. It's not all this. Is it this tie? Mentioned the name of the tie. And he said, thank you, and left. He said he went to the market and bought the tie. He bought it, opened the tie up, studied the tie. What made this tie that quality? He said he went and got materials, tried it the first time, and spoiled everything. He lost the money. Everything went. He said he went and bought it again. Until he perfected at sewing that kind of tie, of course, and now improved on it. This guy has the highest tie company in West Africa today. I don't get the point. Now, he strived for excellence. That's the key. Some of you, that first one that spoiled, you say, you know, too bad, Sha. Oh, just don't be like that. Don't be like that. Praise the Lord. Don't be like that. Don't make cake and explain your cake to us. Say, the reason it's tasting this way is because we added, why are you telling us? Make it so good. Praise God. Package it well. Carry it well. Okay? I passed to entrepreneurs here, right? So you must be very good at it. Very good at it. You do a business that involves delivery. Don't tell us it will arrive in 30 minutes. And then 50 minutes you arrive. It is sorry. Traffic. You should have calculated traffic into what was happening. I don't get the point. You should have calculated traffic into the game. Be that perfect. Perfect to the point that we tell the person, if you order by 2, we'll bring it by 4. By 3:58, you are dead. They just know you. That's what we guarantee the person, that when next time he wants it, he can order and know, say, don't worry, they're going to come by this time. That's why I said, excellence is order. It's not much, it's not so much about money. It's about the order you bring into things. Okay. Okay. What will it cost that when you're going to, if you're not the one doing the deliveries, when you're going to go do the deliveries, can't the people that do the deliveries for you dress in a certain way? That will not cost anything. And talk in a certain way. Nobody comes to the unlucky. Ba 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 ba. Come out, is your shoe? I be is your cake. Which one? What happens to the person knocking on the door? When the door is open, he said, good evening. This is from, you know, just phone packaging. Make you just be like, say, get sense. You get the point? Say, good evening. From, please sign here. Sign here to confirm that the person automatically feels that you have sense. That is a big place. Praise God. Praise God. Let us bring in a little perfection into what we do. Hallelujah. The difference between where the governor's wife can go make her hair and where she can't go, it's not about who can make it better. It's about all these small things. I don't get the point. Same thing. The difference between a hospital that the governor can go to and where another person can go to. Sometimes it's about the equipment and all that. Sometimes it's about order. Have you gone to some big places? You know that they put money into this place, but it's so messed up. Have you seen such places? You know that there's a lot of money here, but everything is so messed. You just come in, you can smell. You know you can smell disorder when you come in. You know there's money here, but then everybody just behaving. I go to some, especially hotels in this part of the country. You go in there, you see they've put a lot of money to make these hotels work. But then you now see, because of lack of order, the workers come to work at the end. Sometimes you just come to the reception, the lady is there sleeping. You now knock. Excuse me, oh. Excuse me. He said, what room do you want? And that's just the thing. The difference is not money sometimes. It's just because they've thrown excellence away. So this is to a more excellent year. Amen. to a more diligent year in everything that we do. Praise God. To a more consecrated year and a spiritual growth driven year. Hallelujah. We're going to give in our best to have the best of years. Amen. So it's a year that you have to be serious. Amen. Serious, diligent, working hard, excellent, growing spiritually, consecrated. Hallelujah. Let people look at you and say, this lady is a serious person. A serious person. Praise God. There are many things I can say, but our time is spent. Because excellence can touch every part of you. Even relationship, there's excellence in your relationship. Don't be comfortable with a relationship where they're always quarreling morning and night. That's not the relationship. You know, one of the things I've known about excellence, I told myself, I said, excellence for me is living the standard of the Word of God. The Word of God said, this is how it should be done. I'll do it that way. That's excellence. That's perfection too. You get the point? The Word of God says that marriage can be peaceful. Anything less of peace in my relationship is not excellence. So I'm going to insist on that peace and get it there. Praise God. The Word of God says we must be punctual, must be there by 8 o'clock. I'm going to be there. That's an excellent man. The Word of God says things should be, you should dress this way. I'm going to dress that way. That's excellence for me. Living, excellence is living in God's order. So it's a year that we're going to be more fruitful, more productive. And what we've been saying about having 5 years in one, but I share this money will take you there. Amen. Commitment to Bible study and all that. It's already 5 years in one for your spiritual growth for many of you. You know, some of you, if you're going to work with the Bible study plan we are working with this year, the scriptures you're going to read this year, you've not read it in the past 10 years. So for many of you, it's 10 years in one. I'm telling you, if you commit to the prayer pattern that we're going to set for you, all the prayer you pray this year, you've not prayed it for the past 5 years of your Christian walk. And I'm telling you what, the plan that we have, when we make sure that every day you pray for 1 to 2 hours, every day, every day. Imagine praying for 1 hour every day for 365 days. That's 365 hours of prayer. Imagine making it 2 hours every day. Okay? Plus all the prayers we pray in church, all the prayer retreats we have in church and all that. It's already 5 years in one for your spiritual life. They talk about consecration. They talk about bringing diligence to your business with the aid of the supernatural that will join. It cannot help but be productive here. Think of bringing in excellence. You're doing all these things, and then God is now putting hand for you. But things must be different. I'm telling you. So it's achievable. Hallelujah. And you will see the moves that you're going to make, and you'll be very productive. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Say with me, say this year. Let me hear you. Let me hear you again. I'll be more productive, more committed to my spiritual growth. To my spiritual growth. I will live a life of consecration this year. I will live a life of consecration this year. I am diligent. I am diligent in my work, in my business. I'm a diligent man. I strive for excellence. I strive for excellence. I'm not a mediocre. I'm not a mediocre. I will not settle for less. I will strive for excellence. Hallelujah. We strive for excellence. Praise God. Just talk in other tongues wherever you are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.